for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 4th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher of the morning. This morning, we've talked about this. Different ones have a little bit. This morning, we're going to take up curses. It is a subject that we could spend 2 or 3 hours on. It's very hard to condense it to an hour or even less than an hour and a half, but we will try our best to do that this morning so that we will have time as well as teach as to practice what we talk about. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we will begin. Curses is a controversy almost as bad as can a Christian have a demon. They say no Christian can have a demon. No demon can cross the bloodline. I got saved. Well, they don't realize when they say that your spirit got saved, but there's areas of you that Satan has legal rights to in your soul that you have to get cleansed. And every individual is different. There's no two people that look alike, talk alike, think alike, or that are demonized alike. Everybody's different, but all, in a way, similar. All similar, but different. And the same is true with curses. And I, just as with deliverance, I would have said that it's impossible to have a curse because that all got taken care of at Calvary, and when I came to Jesus, that all got taken care of. Well, the Lord had to show us by an actual demonstration, which is the way we learn almost everything, by a demonstration that that wasn't true. And I'm not going to relate it all because I've got too much to talk about this morning, but by a demonstration, the Lord showed us that we still are subject to curses. And then after I found out we were, I wanted to know why, and then I wanted to know what to do about it. So I had to study the scriptures to find the answers for my questions. I didn't find the answers from somebody else. I found the answers in the scriptures. And then when I found the answers, then I began to study and knew what to do about it. But then I come to the conclusion that there were more than one area that was involved. And so this morning we're going to take up two major areas, no, three major areas that we are cursed by. You say God doesn't curse anybody. Well, I'll let you determine that. When we're through with our study this morning, then you make up your own mind whether God curses you or not. See, we talk about God is a God of love, and God is a God of love. But those who teach the love side of God forget to teach that God is a God of war and a God of judgment. And he says, where there is sin, there must also be judgment. And the scales that weigh the love of God also weigh the judgment of God. And the two weigh perfect with perfect. God's judgment and God's love are identical. But we don't want to believe that or accept that. But it is still, according to the scriptures, it is the truth. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29 says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go, say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee. All the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Today, we are possessing the temple. Do we want to prolong our days in this temple? Well, our study today will show us how we can do that. But the Lord says that we would fear him always, and that we shall observe to keep his commandments and turn not to the right hand nor to the left, that we may live. Chapter 6, across the page, verse 20 says, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments?" Now these do not apply. The things that we're studying today do not apply to the fulfillment that Jesus brought at Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial laws for the remission of our sins. And what we're studying today has nothing whatever to do with what Jesus fulfilled. What we're studying today is in force today just as much as it was when God gave it to Moses the day he gave it to him. It has not changed. The only thing that has changed is that Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial laws and became our lamb for us. But other than that, all that we study today is still in force just as much as the day God gave it to Moses. People say, that's Moses' law. I contend with you. It is not Moses' law. God said, Moses, you say. Therefore, it's God's law, not Moses' law. Moses just repeated what God said for him to do. But I've heard it said from the pulpit that we don't have to observe Moses' law. But it is not Moses' law, it's God's law, and it applies today just as it did when Moses gave it, when God gave it to Moses. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What means the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh or Satan's bondmen in the world, Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of the world with a mighty hand. That's application for us today. See, I'm bringing you up to present right now. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, or upon the world, and upon Satan, and upon all his household before eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Chapter 7. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. What? That keep his covenant and his commandments. He will keep his covenant if we keep his commandments. And where? To 1,000 generations. We've not near had 1,000 generations yet. So that reaches way out. Where? If it started from today, it'd be 40,000 years into eternity. So God's placed it so that it goes out into the millennium. His mercy. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. Most Christians have no fear of God. America as a whole has no fear of God. They don't believe God's judgments are coming. They have no fear of him at all. But they're coming. But to fear the Lord thy God. To walk in all his ways and to love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Are we doing that? To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and the earth also with all that is therein. Only the Lord hath a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all the people, as it is this day. And today we are chosen above all people if we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and glorify. Now, I could go on probably 25, maybe 50 times more and read almost the same thing over throughout the Scriptures. God repeats it over and over again, but we're not going to do that. We've read enough times that God says that we're to walk in His commandments, keep His ways, and to fear Him. And He says that if we do that, He'll watch after us to 1,000 generations. So if He watches after me, even for one generation, why, I'm blessed. But to 1,000 generations, we're blessed, blessed, blessed. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, we will start. And we're going to show you here, starting here, that if we don't obey the Lord, the word of the Lord our God, that by the Lord, by God. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not, a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So, God says, we obey His commandments, we're blessed. If we disobey them, we're cursed. So now, let's look and see what He says about some of these things. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, we will start at verse 1, and it very plainly says in the very first verse what I just mentioned. It says, and God spake. Not Moses, God. He spoke them who? He spoke it to Moses. And he says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, or sin, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And America has as many gods as India. But we call them by a different name. We call them by fishing and hunting and sports and all of these things. Now, in their right place and rightful thing, there's not a thing wrong with most of those things. But most of America has made them a god. They are their gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, or that do not obey my word. A more correct literal translation of that word hate, and I've got it written in my Bible. Every time I run across a place where the translation is just a little different from what it really is in the original, I write it in the margin of my Bible. And that word hate, that hate me, should be, or that do not obey my word. If we don't obey the word of the Lord, we really are hating in that area that we're disobeying His word. But He says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. There, we're back to His mercy again. Thank the Lord for His mercy. Exodus chapter 34. Says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all these things be established. So we're giving you well over two today. And there are many more that we could add besides, because it isn't just in the Scriptures that I'm reading, because there are many more that say the same thing. In chapter 34, and verse 7, it says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. It says, but that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. You say, oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, He just here said He does. That there's a familiar spirit that comes and follows the family line down to try and get repeated the sin of my sin or the sin of my father. And it has a right for that many generations to try and do that. And if it repeats it, and if it succeeds in repeating, then it has a right again for that many generations. So I believe that there are some areas of our lives that we are bound, maybe spirit of death, we're bound clear back to Adam. In death, someplace that's going to be broken, that's going to be done away with. But I believe that we're bound in many things clear back to Noah or before. Now, I can't explain what they are, or that, but I am of that belief, personally. Whether you want to agree, that's immaterial, but because I believe that these demon spirits that are assigned to a family will try with everything that's within them to repeat the sin in the family, if it's the occult, if it's sexual sins, bestiality, or sins of pleasure, or whatever they are, that Satan will try, the demons that he has assigned to your family will try to get part, some of your family, to repeat that again. We say he or she's like her grandmother, or he's a chip off the old block like his granddad. His granddad was an alcoholic, you know, so we can expect him to be an alcoholic, or his granddad had fits of temper. He has fits of temper. The grandson or the son, he just inherited from his dad. That's true. Don't we hear that? And all they're doing is confirming the Word of God. Yet you tell them that and they don't believe it. The familiar spirit is coming down the family line. And they're confirming that it exists, but you tell them it does and they say, oh, that's not so. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Same with disease. Disease. Spirits of infirmity are assigned to a family. And one family will, so somebody in the family will always have sugar diabetes. Somebody in the family, will, they'll say, well, granddad died of a heart attack. He didn't live to be 54 years old. I suppose that'll happen to me. You're cursing yourself when you say that. But that familiar spirit, it's right there. Jump right on you. You open yourself by your own mouth. Words are mighty and powerful. Well, let's see. We want Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 9. And again, it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word. Now, that word iniquity there, he's visiting the iniquity. The word iniquity means that you do that which you know better to do, and you do it anyway. That's iniquity. When you know that what you're going to do is wrong, or it's sin, and you do it anyway, that is iniquity, and that gives a demon spirit a right to your life in that area. In that area of your life. Not to the rest of the areas of your life, but to that particular area. Now you have opened the door, and you've made a way for a demon spirit to have a right to you in that area. And you do it in another area, in another area, another area, pretty soon you got a house full. If you haven't already inherited it down through the family line and at the time of inception or conception, whatever. They tell me I get my words backwards up here once in a while. Well, you know what I mean anyway. Deuteronomy 23. Now, we've looked at here that God said he brings a curse to the fourth generation, that God does it. If we disobey his word, we allow it to happen, but God says it will happen to us if we disobey his word. Now, over here in Deuteronomy chapter 23, we find another line of curses. And verse 2 says, a bastard or illegitimate child shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation. Illegitimate child can be out of wedlock. It can be by incest. Anyway, it's out of marriage. It is ancestral relation or out of marriage relationship. And it carries a 10-generation curse. An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but I will, for the tape and for you, in my writing, I will give you the scriptures to tell you who the Amorite and the Moabites are. You will find it in Genesis 19, verses 36 through 38. Genesis 19, verses 36 through 38. They are Lot's children by incest. Incest is a 10-generation curse. And I believe that every family on the face of the earth is bound in an incest curse. I don't believe there's a family on the face of the earth in 10 generations that there hasn't been incest in the family. I did not understand that, but as we have been dealing and praying with people, and since this has come to our attention, every place you look or have a deal with in deliverance, almost, there is a problem of incest. Before you get through praying with them in one way or another, there's incest. And bestiality and homosexuality and lesbianism. The first time that we ran into incest, that opened our eyes, that we ran into it, was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we were over there having a meeting with a group of ORU students and some of the teachers. We were invited by a boy that lived here for a while that we helped get into ORU to finish his education, and he's now a doctor in the armed forces, serving his time to help pay for his tuition, and married and got two beautiful children, and I helped marry him and his wife. But he invited us to come. He said he'd been talking, and a lot of the kids wanted us to come and teach. So he got a group together, and some of the instructors, we had, I think, 35 total in the teaching that day. And we used, Youth for Christ, or what was it? Youth for Christ facilities in Tulsa. They let us have their facilities, and we used for the teaching. And I taught, not to this extent here that we're doing today, but I taught on what we're going to get to in a few minutes over in back in Leviticus 17 and 18 and Deuteronomy 27 and 28. I taught on what we will get to. That's what I taught on. I didn't know about all of this and was unaware of it. And it was the first time I ever taught on this subject. And I don't even know why I taught on it. And I like to knock Dermoff for chair, because when I started to teach this, because I had said anything to her, and I'd never done it before, and she thought, why on earth is he talking about all of this to these young people for? This is out of place. This is out of order here, she thought. Well, we all found out it wasn't out of order, and it was of God. Anyway, there was one young lady there after I got through teaching, and we started to deal with the demonic spirits. And I started to call out mass deliverance in the area of sexual relations and incest and this. And it was the first time I ever did it. One of the instructors was sitting by the door on a chair. And her expression never changed. And she looked like she wanted to get a hold of me and wring my neck. She sat there just stoic. And I expected her at any minute to get up and walk out the door. That was my thought in my mind, that she would get up and leave before I was finished. But she didn't. And when I started give the commands, the spirits of lust and sex and so forth, and incest, to come out, she gave a blood-curdling scream, and fell off the chair, and began to writhe across the floor like a serpent. And we all knew we were right on. And we prayed with the young people for quite a while. And there was one young lady who I kept hearing her say, I can't, wife of the boy that brought us over, wife-to-be, was praying with her. And finally I went back and said, well, what's the problem? They said, we don't know. She just tells us we can't. So I finally got Irma free. Irma came over and began to deal with her. Here's what we found. She's a beautiful blonde girl, 17 or 18 years of age, from up in the northern part of the country. Her background was from a Holland descent, from the Netherlands. And her parents have been Christians for all their life, so far as she knew, spirit-filled. But yet, this girl, the reason she was saying, I can't, was because she didn't want to say what her problem was, and she was supposed to go home in a few days for Thanksgiving, and she couldn't go home. At least she didn't want to. And finally, Irma got out of her the problem. Her mother, spirit-filled Christian, had molested her and her two brothers almost since she could remember. And she didn't want to go home to face the possibility of that again. Well, the girl got mildly set free and delivered, then with the ability to go home and confront the situation. And so that's where we learned firsthand our first experience with incest. That's how we have learned most of the things that we talk about. We have learned them firsthand. We're not talking about something that we've heard somebody else talk about or somebody else tell us. God has allowed these circumstances to cross our path so that we talk about to you about things that we have experienced ourselves. We don't come to you telling you something that somebody else said. So when Irma and I stand here and Gene stands here, others who stand here, we stand here and teach you and tell you that which we have experienced or been part of. So, now, and since that time, we have found that incest is a major problem in the household of faith. Ministers, laymen, deacons, we have found it to be a major problem in the household of faith. Then there's another problem, and Gene is well aware of this because he has the same thing. There are many of these people who want help, detest it, want deliverance, but the pastor can't go to his elders. The elders don't feel they can go to the pastor. The pastor can't go to the superintendent. Where do they go? They come finding Gene and us. God sets them free and delivers them. Take some fun out of the bondage and the guilt. Wonderful ministers, but they've got problems just like you and me, and they need help. Thank God there is help. Well, let's go on. Leviticus chapter 18. We will begin now. Where we've come all this way to get to. And Lord, slow the clock down. It runs too fast. I never imagined that I would ever, 25 years ago, if somebody told me I'd be able to be standing here doing what I'm doing, I'd have said, you're out of your mind. And then to say that I couldn't, that an hour and a half wasn't enough time, that would have been absolute blow to my mind. 15-20 minutes would have done, I would have thought. But an hour and a half, it's not enough. Leviticus 18. And we're not going to go through the whole chapter. It takes too long. But you read it. You read it. But there's a thought here that I want you to get out of this chapter. Because it shows what the Lord does. Here in chapter 18, we notice, let's just take verse 16 for an example. I've got another verse I like to use, but I don't see it marked. I'll find it in another chapter. Anyway, this verse says, thou shalt not. Now you notice, I want you to remember that. It says, thou shalt not. And you go down through this chapter, every place, almost every verse, it says, thou shalt not. Now I want you to notice verse 1. Verse 1 says exactly what I was mentioning a while ago. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And then he goes on to tell Moses what to say. But he says, and the Lord spake to Moses. So you can't put it off that these are Moses' laws and not God's. But that's what we've been taught by tradition and from the pulpit. Tradition taught me that these were Moses' laws and not God's. And that is Aaron. Then I want you to notice another thing here. I'm looking at verse 10, and it says, the nakedness of thy daughter or thy daughter's daughter and so forth. And then verse 11 says, and the nakedness. And verse 12 says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Now, in most places where that word nakedness is used, it is literal, the literal of it is sexual relation, not nakedness. It says, thou shalt not have sexual relations with thy father's sister. That's the literal of it. The word nakedness should be translated sexual relations. And when it's put that way, it gives us an understanding of what we're saying here. It's not just don't look on somebody that's naked. It's saying you shouldn't do that. But what it's saying is you shall not have sexual relations with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And if you do, it's incest, which carries a 10-generation curse. All of these areas of the family, back mothers and fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, and nephews, all carry a 10-generation curse. And in most states, there is a law that cousins cannot marry each other. We had quite a problem with a situation like that here a while back when people came from Florida. I haven't got time to talk about it. I go down as I'm talking. Another area that we've dealt with comes to my mind. But we don't have time to go into all those things. We just basically will use the word of the Lord here today. Let's see. There is a verse here in this that I want to find. Now we go on in this chapter, and it tells us, shall not lie with bestiality. Or 22 says about homosexuality and lesbianism. And verse 19. What I'm teaching here and what I'm going to read in 19 here should be read from the pulpit by every pastor. Because I read this many times, read it in Bible school, went through the Bible school, but they never dwell on it. They just passed over it, all of this. But this verse 19 should be expounded upon. It says, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. That is the time of her monthly period.
I'm not going to come back to it. Verse 22. Says, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasphemy, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. It says, the Lord shall smite thee. Verse 27 says, and the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhage, and with the scab, and with the itch, wherewith thou canst not be healed. And the Lord will smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, and so on and so forth, says the Lord will do this. Well, I thought God didn't do those things. I thought the devil did all of that. Shall thou be destroyed? Why? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commandeth thee.
Yeah,
we need to hearken to the word of the Lord.
Now let's look at some more areas. Chapter 1, verse 14, says, cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and vow and sacrifice to the Lord a corrupt thing. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The Lord says that if we make a vow to him and we don't keep it, we're cursed. If you've got a vow you can't keep it, you need to come ask the Lord to forgive you and repent of it so that you're not cursed. The Lord says we're cursed if we make a vow and don't keep it. Back in the days that this was written, was that they promised the Lord a certain sheep or a goat or steer or calf,
And then, because it wasn't, it was better than all the rest, well, they kept it and took the sick one and gave it to the Lord. The Lord said, when you've done that, you cursed yourself. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Now, O ye priests, today, so my understanding is that every male of every house is the priest of his household. So we're speaking to all the males today. Now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not lay to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. Who will? God will. God will send a curse if we don't give him the glory. So we must give God a glory, the glory. And then what is he going to say? He says, I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already because you don't believe me, because you don't lay it to heart. So we need to repent and ask the Lord to forgive us so that our blessings are blessed and not cursed. Maybe that's the reason we have a spirit of poverty. If this is the truth, then this allows the spirit of poverty to come right in. We've opened the door for it. We need to repent so the spirit of poverty can be cast out. Oh, well, that's coming. That's my next place. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. says that, says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But if we come unto the Lord in repentance, the Lord says that he'll hear us and answer us, and he'll come and return unto us. But there's another curse here. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithe and in offering. You say, but tithing's done away with in the New Testament. I've had people argue that. I do not believe it, and I cannot find such a statement. You're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And America really has robbed God. We're the wealthiest nation in the world, yet we spend more money on chewing gum, several times more money on chewing gum than is given to world missions. And yet there's more money comes out of America for world missions than all the rest of the world, yet it is less than what we spend on chewing gum. An abomination to God. An abomination to God. We don't need chewing gum. In fact, I can't chew it. If I chew it for at least 5 minutes, it'll give me a headache. Thank the Lord it does. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Have we tried to trust the Lord? See, you pour out our blessings upon us. Now, I do not agree that if you give a dollar, God's going to give you 10 back for it. I don't buy that statement. I don't buy if you come and give $10, God will give it back to you tenfold. That's an abomination. And I do not approve of it. And God may honor it, but I know people who have given their rent money away. Money that they had for rent, that they put it in an offering because somebody played on their feelings and they thought that if they put their rent money in there tomorrow in the mail, they was going to get a check back for 10 times what their rent money was. And the check never came. And the check never came. And the check never came. And it never came. And the rent never got paid. And they had nothing to eat. So they said God let them down. No. Witchcraft was worked on them. Witchcraft. Wasn't God at all. It was an abomination to God. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Well, all my life, I have been in Pentecostal meetings, tent meetings, camp meetings, all the great ministries. I've sat and heard most all the great ministries of the 20s and 30s, Brother Price and Sister McPherson and name them on down. I've sat in their ministries and heard them and saw the power of God work and the glory of the Lord come forth. And I
long and cry to see the manifestation of his glory in every service where we praise and worship the Lord. And I believe that there's coming again a manifestation of his glory that we have yet to see. But I've also been in a lot of services that made me sick of my stomach because things were done and said that were not of God. And the people were gullible and believed it. And so that's why when we come here, and I'm the steward of this place, and the priest of this place, and I'm responsible. But the hardest thing I've ever done, worse than when I begin to teach, the hardest thing of all I've ever had to do is take offerings. It's my hardest job. Yeah, I do it here almost three times a day. And the reason for it is because of the flagrant, abominable things I've seen since I was a child in the matters of money. And the Lord's working on me. For quite a while, and I've been kind of putting things together. I'm going to teach on manna, on filthy manna, and the abomination of it one of these days, and the practice of it that's from the pulpit and the ministers of the pulpit, and many of them do it and don't realize what they're doing, and that they do not follow the order of Scripture. And I may make a lot of people mad when I do it, but one day I'm going to do it. I'm working on it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, the great I am that I am, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, or literal is many and great. That word wonderful, is a literal translation of it, is many and great. And the plagues of thy seed, see, there it is, the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sickness, and again of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And now listen to this verse. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you are destroyed. And you can go through. I have heard said that doctors can go through and take the sicknesses, Christian doctors, and take the sicknesses that are listed here and categorize them, I believe, into 37 categories of the sicknesses of the world, and they're all listed in what is listed here in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, that they can find all the sicknesses of the world in these categories. But yet we come up with one in verse 61 here. We can come up with one that gives place for all that we don't know what it is, such as AIDS and some of the blood sicknesses now in other areas that they're finding that they have no answer or anything to help for yet. So God covered it all right here. He didn't leave a thing out right there. Well, you say, again, well, I got saved, and the Lord took care of all those things when I got saved. Well, that was my contention. But yet I knew from fact that it was, that my theory didn't hold water. I had a sieve in the bottom of my bucket, and I couldn't keep the water in the bucket. But my tradition told me that I should have, that my bucket shouldn't have a sieve in it, that it should hold water. But it wouldn't. So I had to find the answer why, when I got saved, that I didn't get rid of all my infirmities or the curses and all that were plaguing me. Now, I have seen many people, when they get saved, delivered. When I was a kid, and Irma, and our families and her family, there was all-night prayer meetings. I mean, they was all-night prayer meetings. They wasn't some kind of a supper party. There was an all-night prayer meeting. Today we have a prayer meeting, and it ends up being a supper party before you go home. We didn't have those when I was kids. We had all night prayer meetings. And Irma's, they used to come in the wagon, and they'd heat the bricks up in the pot belly stove and put them in the wagon and go home at 20 below zero at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, or at sunrise, and eat and do the chores and get the kids ready for school, and off to school they'd go. You do that today, and they'll be out and take the kids away from you that you're mistreating your children. But when I was a kid and she was a kid, it was the Lord took care of us. I never complained, because I can remember people laying on the floor, rolling on the floor, talking in tongues, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They never told us to go to bed. We weren't told to go. If we laid down on the floor and went to sleep, that was fine. But nobody tried to put us. We never went to bed till everybody went home. Then we went to bed. If it wasn't morning, the kids all stayed up with everybody. And we may not have joined in the prayer meeting, you know, like that. But we weren't put off in a corner somewhere. We were there and participated if we or whatever. And we prayed. And some of the kids got the Holy Spirit and things like that. What I'm saying is, but I've seen people get saved, get filled with the Spirit, and get delivered, all in the same time at the altar. I've seen them get delivered from alcohol, tobacco, from running around, carousing, all of these things at one time. I've seen others at the same time get saved and not get the Holy Spirit till they tarried and tarried and tarried. I've seen others get saved and get the Holy Spirit and still have their tobacco problem, or their alcohol problem, or their carousing problem. God's sovereign. He knows what he's doing, how to work. But also, I believe it's from the heart, a basis of true repentance. And if we truly repent, want to be delivered, God will just, then you've had to deal with the problem over the next 2 or 3 years to get rid of the tobacco, or next 2 or 3 years to get rid of the alcohol, or to get rid of the woman chasing. See? With God's sovereign, he can do it all at once if our hearts really cry out to be set free from these areas. God is sovereign, and what he wants to do. But if he doesn't do, then we've got to work on it, and so that we get free from the things that torment us. And there are areas that torment you that you aren't really aware of. You know it is, but you don't know what it is or why. Now we're back to the ancestral curses and the sins of our ancestors, and the familiar spirits of sickness and disease that come down through the family line, that try to find a place to reproduce themselves in the family to perpetrate the sin that gives them a right to live in this family. And that's their assignment. That's what they're there for. And if they fail, they're in big trouble, because then they've got to go report back to whoever their lieutenant is. And then he reports back to whoever his is, and it gets back to Satan. A troop of demons over here that signed to Glenn Miller failed, and now then what are we going to do with them? And they don't want that to happen, because they're in trouble. God's got Satan's got an army, and his demons get reprimanded. Now, I can't go to scriptures and prove what I'm saying to you, but from others who have dealt, as you read down through history, where others have had insight into the demonic realm and have seen what happens. My understanding is that this is there. But I like to bind them up so they can't be reported back to and do any more harm to anybody. And I believe that we have, that the scripture says that what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So if we bind them, I believe they're bound. Then let God have Jesus judge them at the day of judgment. And the angels can take them wherever the Lord wants him to take them. Keep them there until he judges them. Well, back to what I had to find. I found, first of all, that John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it says, but we go back to the beginning, if you don't quote the whole thing, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you stop there, say, well, all the world should be saved. So, because God gave his Son, that all the world could be saved. But when you go on, you find that you have to believe on his Son
for the remission of your sins. So, then I thought, well, what does that have to do with deliverance from curses? And I found the answer in Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curse. But he became the curse so we don't have to. Just as he is our salvation, if we believe on him, we have to apply and appropriate Galatians 3:13. We have to tell the devil, the demon, that Jesus became my curse, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me and separates me from the curse of my ancestors. And because Jesus became my curse, now I take your rights away, demon. In Jesus' name, he became my curse, and I take your rights away, and I break your dominion off of my life, and you have to go. So we have to apply and appropriate the Word of God for salvation. We have to turn around and do it to break the curses. And I was satisfied when I found that. Then I understood that God was sovereign. Some curses went when we got saved. I know they do. Lots of them do. But there are some that do not go, that when we get saved. And we have to come to the place where we contend with them, take dominion over them, and break their dominion. Now, we are going to work on some of these here this morning. But as the Lord shows you in days to come, you're praying areas in your life, something that you have done that fits in some of these categories, or the Lord shows you that possibly your ancestors did something that fits in some of these categories, then you take authority over that spirit. Call it by name, whatever it is. Call its name and say, you spirit of adultery or divorce or whatever, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. Jesus became a curse, so you can't preparate your curse in my family or upon me. And I take authority in the name of Jesus over you. I put the blood to cleanse me from your dominion. And now in Jesus' name, because he became the curse, I bind you and command you to loose me and set me free in Jesus' name. And you have the same authority as I will have here this morning in doing this. And there, because we can't cover all the areas that's involved, because there are thousands, if we get down to the bottom, of different areas that's involved in different ways. Complicated. Satan's got it so complicated that he thinks it can never get untangled. But bless God, Jesus is making a way. Hallelujah. We are victors through the name and by the name of Jesus. Washed in the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, this morning, we're going to take some of these areas, a few of them. We'll not, as I said, not begin to cover at all. But we'll take some of them and we'll deal with them just as we'll have a mass deliverance service in the area of curses and deal with them. And then now you can either get this tape and listen to it and use it, or you can remember. And but most of all, what you need to remember is to study the Word of the Lord, to apply it, that we obey the commandments of God. Or his word, it is written. You see, that's what Jesus used. It is written. And that's our pattern. It is written. And the way we can use it and apply it and appropriate it is, if we obey it, then we can use it. But if we disobey it, if we're committing adultery, there's no way that we can be free from adultery or help anybody else be free from adultery. You're bound in it. You have to turn from your wicked ways and repent of your ways and be cleansed and washed in the blood, and then there is deliverance for you in that area. Maybe if you repent of it, the demon will leave, but not always. You have to repent. You have to forgive. If you don't forgive, there are demon spirits that will not leave if you don't forgive. Not all, but a lot of arthritis is caused because people will not forgive people. We found that out a long time ago from other ministries. They found that arthritis is one of the causes, or unforgiveness is one of the causes of arthritis. Now, when we speak in these areas, there are other causes. Sugar diabetes. One of the causes of sugar diabetes is eating blood sausage and blood pudding, or blood soup, or drinking blood, or eating raw meat. One of the effects of eating raw meat is a driving spirit of lust.
We have run across a lot of people who eat raw meat, who eat a half a pound of hamburger a day or a pound of hamburger raw, or what want their steak raw. They really don't want you to put it on raw. Just give it to me raw and let me eat it. You'll find those people most of them have a driving spirit of lust. People say when they're confronted that the Germans or there are several nationalities that make blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup, or drink blood, hot blood when they butcher. I've been around that we used to live on the farm. We used to butcher a lot, and our neighbor came. I never thought about it. Nobody thought about it at the time, but now I know. He came and brought milk pails and collected all the blood and took it home. I never thought about it. As a boy, I just knew he did it, and I really knew what he'd done with it, never gave it a thought. But if we'd have been taught from the pulpit that God says you shall not eat the blood or the fat, we would have understood. See, the fat, the last few years, the doctors and scientists have told us we got high cholesterol. Leviticus chapter 3, since I'm on this, let's go back over here. Let's show you, and you can find all kinds of scriptures that back up what I'm saying here, because it's all part of the curse that we're under. But in Leviticus chapter 3, I was doing a study one time. I don't want to get involved in this because it'll take away the time. On the aspects of the blood, there are five scriptural aspects of the blood of Jesus. But there is another aspect of the blood that is in Pentecost. They say, I plead the blood. Now, God has honored that, but that is unscriptural. There is no scriptural basis for the statement, I plead the blood. And Satan can call you on that when you're playing with somebody and you say against the spirit, I plead the blood, the demon can laugh at you. Because you have no scriptural basis for that statement. And when you're dealing with demon spirits, you better use your scripture right. Because if you don't, he's a legalist, and he knows his ground. And he'll hold on to it to the end until you get it right. Anyway, there are five aspects, see if I can name them here real quick since I called them, of scriptural basis for the blood. We can apply the blood. We can cover with the blood. We can appropriate with the blood. We can wash with the blood. There's one more. Who can tell me what it is? Sprinkle. There are five scriptural applications for the use of the blood of Jesus. And Satan, the demons, have to honor. Well, anyway, we were having a Bible study, and that's what we were studying. And I was explaining this. And there are many, many scriptures throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the book of Revelation, that cover these areas of the blood. Well, I finished reading this chapter. Verse 13 was my scripture about sprinkling the blood. Finished reading the chapter. I never even thought. I had no reason to read it. Didn't know why I read it after I read it. Didn't even know I had read it. Until later, another party, the Lord worked on another party. But the last verse says, it shall be a perpetual. Perpetual. What's that, 50 years from now? Two generations from now? Ever and ever and ever. Perpetual. Statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. Not just part of them, all of them. That you eat neither fat nor blood. We have disobeyed that for 2,000, 3,000 years. So we got cholesterol. I've been in homes, Christian spirit-filled homes, where they cook a big steak or big roast, and the first thing the man of the house and his daughter did was cut all the fat off and put it on their plate, and all the fat you don't want, put it on my plate, we'll eat it. They both, the father died of heart trouble, and I haven't heard what happened with the daughter, but she was well overweight. But you see, he died of heart trouble. God says, don't eat the fat. Now, you can't cut the fat out in the marble, and that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fat that lays in there in layers. He says, the fat is his. You are not to eat it. Now, there is a fat that you can eat. You can eat the fat of chickens. That is not spelled out. The fat of chickens can be used. You can eat it. But you cannot eat the fat from animals. God says it belongs to him. And you're not there. You've been around people, maybe some of you, take and have a steak, and you leave all the fat on it, and you eat the fat. You're to cut it off. You're not to eat the fat. And to the best of your ability, you're to drain the blood from the meat. To the best of your ability, drain it out. Soak it in a little salt water, if it's real bloody. Put it in a little salt water and soak it. And drain the blood out of it. Or take and put it in, put a half a teaspoon of Clorox in it and soak it out. Anyway, we found from this, from that Bible study, a party came back and said that the Lord showed them that the reason there was sugar diabetes in their family line, and her grandmother had died with it, her great-grandmother, her mother, and she had two sisters who had it in the last stages, and the Lord showed her that the reason for sugar diabetes was because they had made blood sausage and blood pudding, and that was the cause of it. And now, she had never eaten it herself. Now, that is not the only cause, but that is one. God showed us that is one of the causes of sugar diabetes. Don't go away from here and say that everybody's got sugar diabetes from eating blood or blood sausage or blood pudding. I am not saying that. But that is one of the causes. Just like heart trouble, high cholesterol is from eating fat. That is one of the causes. God said, don't do it. Then, if he said don't do it, we don't do it. We don't ask why. We don't argue. Everybody wants to argue about everything. Well, but it's this, it's that. All of those food laws were done away with. We don't have to obey those anymore. I can't find where one of them was ever done away with, ever. I can find that script that they use scriptures to misinterpret scriptures and take them out of context for their point. But I cannot find that the scripture fits how they twist it. If you go back to the original meaning of the scripture, it has nothing to do with the way they twist it to try to apply it for their purpose. Well, let's work on curses. Ancestral curses. Curses we've gotten ourselves under because we have disobeyed the word of the Lord. In dealing sometimes in some of the sexual sins curses, and even in the occult, which is a fourth generation curse, spirit of the occult, and many times with the spirits of the occult, you'll have to go back 30, 40 generations that thing has followed down the family line and has separated itself, perpetuated itself in the family line before you get to the beginning of it. Well, that isn't always true, but sometimes we have had to do that. The same with the sexual sins. We've had to go 30, 40 generations back before we finally feel that the party is free of the hope that is on them because of the curse that they have inherited. Okay. Let's pray. Pray with me. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your blood that you shed at Calvary for my sins. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for your blood that cleanses and separates me from the sins of my fathers. And I thank you that you made a way. For it is written in Galatians 3:13 that you became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. And I thank you for that, Jesus. And I thank you today for the understanding that I have gained from your word. For it is written that you visit to the fourth and the tenth generation upon me and my ancestors if we disobey your word. So today, Father, we come in the name of Jesus and ask forgiveness for these areas of our life that Satan has us bound by his demon spirit. And I thank you that today I'm going to be set free. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I will do the rest of the praying from now on. I need some helpers to help us. Brother, you be a helper too. You're needed. Okay.
as we deal with these. Father, I come as a priest this morning on behalf of myself and this congregation. And I come in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name. And I take authority, and I use the authority that's given unto me in Jesus' name. And I bind them to every spirit here, every familiar spirit, every demon spirit. I bind their power, the ancestral spirits that have come down through the ancestral line of our fathers and our forefathers, and even those that we have come because of our own sins. I take authority and dominion over you today, and I bind your power and take your rights away over these people and over myself in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Satan, demon, it is written in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became the curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. And as a priest over this place, I appropriate and apply that to every person that hears my voice on this tape or in this place. And I break that curse in Jesus' name, and I put the blood of Jesus to separate between that curse and you, demon spirit, and between them. And I loose them from it in Jesus' name. And I break your dominion and your power in the name of Jesus. First of all, I come against the sins of idolatry and other gods. I come against you spirits of four-generation curses. I go back for 30 generations. I bind your power and take your rights away over these people. You spirits of the occult, spirits of having other gods, I bind your power, break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I loose these people from your power. I come out of them in Jesus' name. I break your dominion. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind your power and I break your dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose these people. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I loose them in Jesus' name. Having graven images, serving other gods, I break your power. Spirit of Catholicism, spirit of witchcraft, spirit of sorcery, I break your dominion. Loose these people. Come out. Come out. Spirit of idolatry, I break your power over these people. I loose them in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit that has been allowed to come because of the curse that was on the family line. I break your power and dominion over these people. Come out of them and set them free in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. To those who have not honored their father and mother, I break that curse over them in Jesus' name. I loose them from the curse that they have come under because they've not honored their father and mother. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Spirit of rage and anger, I break that curse. Spirit of murder, I break that curse. I break that curse in Jesus' name. Now you spirits of not giving God the glory, I break that curse over these people in Jesus' name. I separate between them and the curse. I come against it in Jesus' name. You spirits that have rights to people because they have not fulfilled their vows that they've made to the Lord, I break your power over these people. You spirits that have rights to them because they have not fulfilled the vow they've made to God, I break that curse and I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to forgive them. I ask you to forgive them and cleanse them. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. You spirits that have rights to them because they have not given God the glory, I break that curse over us. We will give God the glory. We will honor the Lord Jesus. We will break that curse off of ourselves in Jesus' name. I come against the curse of not paying our tithes and giving offerings. I break that curse over us in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Father. Help us, Lord. I come against the curse of not giving God the glory and giving God that which is rightfully His. I break the curse of it over these people. I loose them from it. Come off of them in Jesus' name. I break the dominion of it. Now I come against the curse of the bastard, curse of incest. I come against these curses in Jesus' name. I break the dominion of it in the name of the Lord. Adultery, fornication. I break the curse of it, a divorce. I come against these spirits in Jesus' name. You spirit of divorce that follows the family line, I break that curse. Spirit of adultery and fornication, I break that curse. Spirit of incest, I break that curse in Jesus' name. Guilt, spirit of guilt and condemnation because of incest from mother or father, brother, sister, aunt and uncle, grandfather, I break the curse in Jesus' name. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. I break that curse and spirit of guilt and condemnation. I loose you from it in Jesus' name. I break that dominion in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for hearing our petitions today. Oh, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of bestiality. I break that curse of bestiality over these people. I loose them from it in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, lesbianism, I break that curse
vengeance of saints. You foul spirit of lesbianism. You foul spirit of bestiality. I break your spirit, your power. You foul spirit of homosexuality. I break your power over these people, over anyone who shall hear this tape. I break the curse of it. I loose them from it. I loose them from the curse. I loose them from the teaching that they've been taught that they were born that way. I break that abominable heresy all over them in Jesus' name that they were born that way. I break that heresy over them in Jesus' name. Loose them from it in the name of the Lord. Break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. Loose them from it. I come against the incest in the family between brothers and sisters, between cousins and nieces and nephews or aunts and uncles. I come against the spirit of incest. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Incest in the family, mother, father, grandfather. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. I loose it from it in the name of the Lord. You spirits of incest, I bind and break your dominion in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for hearing us today. I praise you. I thank you for the blood that cleanses and washes and separates from these demonic powers. I bind them. Father, I ask you for the angels of the Lord to bind up these spirits. Keep them till you have Jesus' judgment, the day of judgment. I bind them to the day of judgment. I break their dominion in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I come against the familiar spirits of disease that come down through the family line. Grandfather had heart trouble. Grandmother had arthritis. Mother had sugar diabetes. Or somebody had liver trouble or gallbladder trouble or kidney problems. Or they had problems with the intestines. Or somebody wasn't quite mentally right. I come against these curses of insanity and familiar spirits of diseases and infirmities. And I bind your power and break your dominion over these people. Put the blood of Jesus to separate. I take your rights away. I break your dominion over these people. And I loose them from it in Jesus' name. In spirits of anger and rage, I come against you. Spirits of murder, I come against you. Spirits that torment, I come against you. You foul spirits that cause confusion in the family. You spirits that cause for problems between mother and father and children. You spirits, I break your dominion over the family line in Jesus' name. I come against you in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name.
I take authority and dominion over the spirit of child abuse. I bind the spirit of child abuse. I break its dominion. Those who have been abused as a child, I break that curse over them. Those who have memories of child abuse, I come against those memories and I bind and break their power of child abuse in Jesus' name by mother or father or by some other member of the family. I come against that spirit of child abuse. I break its power over you and I loose you from it. I loose you from the guilt and from the memories. I come against the memories of it. I put the blood to cleanse and wash the memories. Now I come against child abuse. If any of you have been subject to child abusing your children, I put the blood to cleanse and to wash and forgive you. I put the blood to cleanse and wash against child abuse. And I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. Spirit of child abuse, I break your dominion and loose it from it in Jesus' name.
You foul spirits, I bind your power and break your dominion over these people. I loose them from it. The spirit of guilt that comes with child abuse. I curse that spirit of guilt in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I come against the spirit of abandonment. Spirit of abandonment and rejection. Abandonment and rejection. I rebuke you. I bind your power. Break you. Abandoned by your family. Abandoned by your mother and father. Abandoned by your brothers and sisters. Abandoned by a husband or someone else. I come against you, spirit of abandonment that causes torment. I break the dominion of it over you. I loose you from it in Jesus' name. Spirit of abandonment, I break your power and the torment of it. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I break the power, the bondages of it in Jesus' name. I loose you from it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.